Hello everyone and welcome to our final podcast in this series on the Public Procurement Act. I'm Jane Bentham and I'm a partner in our disputes group in London, and I'm here with Juliette Rheingold, a partner in our energy, natural resources and infrastructure team. Thanks for tuning into this podcast where we're going to discuss the challenges and opportunities of the UK Procurement Act. Juliette, with the extensive reforms in place from October 2024, are there both challenges and opportunities with the new Procurement Act?
Thanks, Jane. I think the answer is yes. As we've seen and heard in our podcasts prior to this one, there is going to be a huge transformation for the public procurement regulatory landscape. And that's going to bring both implications and challenges regarding largely compliance and also transparency. But it's also going to offer a large spectrum of business opportunities for those who either are currently engaged in public sector procurement or businesses that aren't and would like to be.
And what do you see as the real opportunities for the supply chain?
So I think it does present good business opportunities. And I think the first one is transparency and fairness. So there will be greater visibility of procurement opportunities, of the commercial pipeline, and that in turn is going to create a more level playing field because more businesses will know where those opportunities are, how to position for them, and then hopefully to tender and to create a good competitive field for the contracting authorities to choose from. And with that also brings fairness. It means that regardless of size and status, any qualified supplier has the chance to identify those opportunities and to compete for that business. So that's the first opportunity around transparency and fairness. I think the second one is around maximising the public benefit. As we heard in the first podcast, that public benefit is now a principle that the legislation is driving through. And that's a focus on value for money in its broader sense, not just on what is the lowest price. And that's going to include economic, social and environmental value. And we're seeing that public procurement is being used as a conduit for government to promote ESG, to promote social value. And in fact, most tenders now, all tenders have a 10% weighting on social value, allowing bidders to demonstrate publicly to the contracting authorities what they're doing in this space. So that does give the opportunity for that particular public benefit to be part of a tenderer's mix. And it will give greater scope in turn for there to be a competition on wider metrics than just price. So that's, I think, the second opportunity for those companies that are really focused, laser focused on ESG type metrics. And then thirdly, open competition. It's definitely going to give a renewed focus on opening up procurement markets for small and medium-sized businesses. They are the backbone of the UK economy, and the Act is going to open up opportunities and make it easier for SMEs, for startups, and for scale-ups to contract with the public authorities. The advantage of that is that for both the SMEs and for government is that those SMEs are often the businesses that foster innovation and diversity, and they offer specialised expertise and niche solutions that will be of benefit to government. So they will now get visibility, and government will also get visibility of them in a way that they won't have done before. So that's providing an opportunity both for the supply chain and for government. I think the next one, or the final one, is probably the streamlined processes. So the introduction of a competitive flexible procedure will allow the contracting authorities to have much more flexibility in how they're designing their tenders, how they're integrating phases for collaboration, and also, interestingly, refining the award criteria as that understanding evolves. So the end goal is to remove barriers and to enable the contracting authorities to achieve the best fit for the supplier and the specific procurement, which they have not been able to really do under the current regime or the old regime. And then the final bit of that is that there are going to be these centralized platforms that allow suppliers to register once, put all their information on there. So there'll be a central tender platform where everything is contained, which means there will be alerts that they can receive. There is a platform where they can go in and have full visibility of those opportunities.
So those are the opportunities. What about the challenges? What do you see as the challenges for the supply chain?
So I think that one of the key ones is going to be around compliance and standards. So there is as well a very, very strong emphasis under the new regime on compliance with industry standards, on regulations, which is consistent with the government's approach to procurement in recent years. But the suppliers are going to need to show consistent compliance with specific criteria, with certifications, with quality benchmarks to enable them to participate in bidding processes. And that could cause challenges for some suppliers, particularly the smaller ones, in meeting the more stringent requirements. It will require them to understand what those requirements are, to comply with them, to audit that they're complying with them, and being able to demonstrate publicly and openly to government and contracting authorities that they have done so. So I think that's the first one. The second one is a really interesting one that will be very new to all businesses dealing with government, and that is the enhanced transparency. So the government is going to be able to disclose, for example, KPIs, the key performance indicators that the supply chain has to meet, which does mean that there might be disclosure of what is sensitive information. And so that's going to be a challenge both for government to know when can I disclose, and with all the consequent implications that has for large businesses, that information will be out in the public domain about whether they've performed or not. And it's also an issue for the businesses themselves, who will not like that information on their reputation going out into the market. So that's going to be a challenge to see how that actually plays out. And then the follow on from that is exclusion. You know, if there has been poor performance and the supplier has not improved when given time to do so, then over time they can be excluded from future procurements for poor performance, and they will be debarred from that. So that is going to be a significant change in how this has worked to date. And that will create a supply chain risk for government, and it will obviously create reputational issues for the supplier themselves. So those will be the key challenges. They're not easy ones to overcome. And it'll be interesting to see how that is weighed up against the opportunities as the regime gets going later this year. And that will be kind of a one to watch.
Thanks very much, Julia. It sounds like there's quite a lot for people to grapple with there. Well, that concludes this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Following this podcast series, if you'd like to discuss any of the content further or have any queries, please do feel free to contact us. You can find our contact details on the Simmons & Simmons website.